Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And sitting in with us this next two segments is Lavinia Cassano from Cantina Menier Salento.
Hi.
Ciao.
Ciao.
First, we want to start this segment with, we have a listener on the line with a question for Cindy. Susan in Baltimore, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I heard about the turkey leg confit, and it sounds really fabulous. The one question I have is, what does immersed in fat mean? Is that like it's sitting in a bath fat, or are you covered in fat? I just wasn't clear on that.
So you would use a pan that would be deep enough and safe enough for you to literally put fat you're completely covering the legs of the turkey. It takes a tremendous amount of fat. And also because you are now working with hot fat, when you have to take that out of the oven, you want to make sure that your pan is big enough, that there's enough room at the top, that you're not going to spill that when you're trying to remove it from the oven. So do be careful with it. But yes, you're literally covering the turkey legs with the fat.
I remember in the olden days, my mom used to get the vats of Crisco or whatever. Uh-huh. So what would be your recommendation for that?
We use a hotel pan. So any sort of, cast iron pan or a big casserole dish or anything that you have, a big pot, maybe even a roasting pan that you might have, any of those things are fine. And then you're going into your oven. And you may even want to put a cookie sheet or a sheet pan underneath that just to save in case there is any kind of spill, because you would certainly not want that fat directly on the bottom of your oven.
Thank you, Susan. A word about confit, because people are usually scared to death of that when you say immersed in fat, you're not going to consume all of the fat.
Yeah, you're not eating any of it. It's
you're very slowly, gently cooking the meat in that, and that just concentrates its flavor. It literally just steams out.
Right, and you're going to end up discarding that fat when you're done with it. So it's a great way to cook.
So let's get into the much more interesting part of Italian wine. The drinking of it, the talking about it, the arguing about it. So, and Lavinia is kind enough to have some wine open in the studio. So the quality of our broadcast
might get a little crazy in here.
But yeah,
it might go down. I thought it might get a lot more fun.
It might be a lot more fun for us, but I mean,
maybe not for the listener.
I try to get any thoughtful comments out of the way early. So, welcome to the U.S. Is this your first time?
In Baltimore, yes. Welcome. Thank you to you for welcoming me.
No, we're so happy that you're here.
Sorry for my English. It's not perfect, so please talk slowly.
It's better than my Italian, I believe. what should we taste first while we hear the story of Cantina Menier?
I suggest to start with the Primitivo.
Okay.
You know that Primitivo, the word Primitivo, comes from the fact that primo in Italian means first, and it's the first red wine that is vinified, ripened after the whites. That's why Primitivo calls this way, and not because it's a primitive.
It's not somehow more crude.
Yes.
No. I've had a lot of Zinfandel from California that I was convinced was Primitivo, different kinds of, because I know there's several different clones.
Exactly.
And you see them in different zones in Puglia. Maybe take 1 second. Let's just talk about Puglia for 1 second, where it is
Puglia, and
where the growing zones are for you all.
Puglia is in the very south part of Italy. It's the hill of the boot. And sometimes I call it north of Africa because climate.
The sun is on your head.
Yes, always, always. That's why our wines are so fruity, so intense and powerful.
That smells
nose is fantastic. The Primitivo has this beautiful purple color. You know,
typical.
It's not magenta. It's not the sort of like rosy or rusty sort of a thing. And it bursting with life immediately on the nose is very floral and briary.
The
Primitivo from Salento, even further south, is even oilier and more black in color, is it not?
Yes, of course. Even if we have a different kind of Primitivos in Puglia, because it depends where the vineyards are. For example, we have a DOC called Primitivo di Manduria. The ones we are drinking now is Primitivo IGP of Salento. And also we have in our winery, for example, another Primitivo with old vines. We're talking about vines that are 80 years old. So different...
Those old vine plants yield less fruit, but the fruit is more intense, yes?
Of course, more concentrated also, yes. Now we are drinking Quota 31. The name Quota 31 means that these plants are at only 31 meters above the sea levels. So that's why, because Puglia is flat, so no mountains, only a lot of sea, a lot of humidity also, because it's important to remember that also the wind coming from the south, from Africa, for example, brings a lot of humidity. So this is also important for the wine. That's why each region has its own typical wine, you know, and Zinfandel born here, and Primitivo born in Puglia.
Where in Mondoria versus Salento, which would you say is there the characteristics one versus the others? Usually think of the wine from Salento as being the big brother and the wine from Mondoria as being the playful sister. Is that the traditional thinking? Or
Yes, maybe. But, you know, generally people know Primitivo. And even in Puglia, Primitivo di Mondoria or Primitivo, it's not this big difference, because both are good wines, good grapes. It's only a question of area and also of laws, because Primitivo di Mondoria, it's a DOC, and the other Primitivos aren't. But
so the Piemontese would argue about it for days and days and days, right? When you cross the road, the DOCG changes, and
yes,
and the neighbors fight with each other. Mm-mm-mm. That's life in the north, right?
Yes.
But the Pugliese attitude is a little different.
The Puglia?
The Pugliese attitude
of the people.
Is a little bit different.
The people's attitude.
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-mm.
So what would be a typical dish to have Primitivo like this with?
Oh, for sure, meat. Local meat, grilled meat, for this kind of Primitivo, yes. Because this Primitivo has a little part oaked in oak barrels for 2 months. So with the grilled meat should be the best pairing.
Yeah, very juicy fruit, very, very dark berry fruit.
Exactly.
Good acidity, good body. Mm-hmm. But there is a little bit of tannin, oak tannin there too.
A little bit, yes.
Just enough to get to the fat there. We are live today and taking your calls, 410-662-8780. Or if you're shy, you can email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. So, Cindy, I want to hear the chef's analysis of the Primitivo.
Well, I'm just tasting it. It's absolutely amazing. First of all, the nose, it's just so, so very, very beautiful. I love the color. The color is rich and deep and just absolutely, as you say, purple and magenta. It's just... really long on the palate. It's absolutely, when you say meats, and I'm sitting here thinking, what do you think when you say meat? Are you talking about lamb? I definitely think of lamb with this.
Of course.
And magre, duck breast. Because mm-hmm. there's something very almost cherry-toned about it to me. And, I almost feel like, you know, in a way there's reduced strawberries in this wine. So I just think it would be so beautiful with magre or duck breast. And, I could also see making a reduction sauce. I'm sorry, but I could see making reduction sauce with a little bit of this wine.
You have to understand that her first love is French fruit.
Yes. And then the next thing is I could also see... making a risotto with this wine. So
great.
I know that your wine is not for cooking, it's for drinking, but I do, of course, as a chef, think
that
way.
And that's the first thing the chef thinks of. Like, she tastes a great cognac or something, and she smells that. She thinks, I'm going to cook this. It may be like 400 euros a glass, but she wants
right,
to cook
right.
it.
It doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah. No, Tony
she wants it in a pan.
Tony cringes and I smile.
The quality is always important.
But I could also see, we were talking about artichoke, or did we talk about artichokes? We were going to talk about artichokes. I could see this, and I know we talked about artichokes on one of our last shows, asparagus, and the pairing, how difficult that could be. Can you see this with artichokes?
No.
No?
Oh, no.
Well, I can, so I'm wrong.
Artichokes, yeah. No.
I love this wine. It's very, very beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Gorgeous.
And so that were you struck? I know we had you at a big charity wine tasting last night with the American consumers and a lot of enthusiastic American consumers. What do you think was what surprised you, and what was what you expected of all of those consumers and their reaction to your wines?
I was really satisfied, first of all, because people were really curious. And they wanted to know, they asked a lot of things, and above all, curious for the tasting and learn about where the wine comes from and the grape. And, you know, and they were really surprised about the color and the intensity of the smell. Mm-hmm. It was really enthusiastic for me.
Menier is a special producer, and there's a lot of producers in the south of Italy that make nice wines, and some are more interesting than others, but there are not that many that make very precise, very expressive wines. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on and are excited to show the wines is because the wines are, you know, super quality. I mean, the way that the winemaking is approached, the growing and the winemaking is approached at Menier is would apply successfully in any region of the world. Any of what people think of, I always hear Italian wine growers talking about the most important wines or the most important places. Mm-hmm. And historically, people don't think of Puglia as an important wine growing region.
You are talking about a great matter in the sense that in the past, Puglia grapes were and Puglia wine were sold to the north of Italy and to the south of France because this wine gave to their wine a great structure.
More body, yeah, color, fruit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's called cheating, ladies and gentlemen.
And nowadays, it's important that all the producers produce and sell our own wine. This is really important for us because now Puglia can say to the world, because we export all over the world, this is our wine, and it's important. We do not produce wine only to sell to the other countries to make their wine, but only for our wine. That's really important.
That's one thing for me in the last 20 years to see some places in the world step up and say that, that have great potential. There are sites in the Languedoc in the south of France. There are sites in Spain, like Toro, and areas like around Salento and Puglia, mm-hmm. where there's potential for really important, really interesting wines that historically maybe the places weren't that wealthy, but now there are people who are growers, you know, maybe it's second or third generation taking over a winery, connected to the world and realizing they can really do something.
Mm-hmm.
So were any surprises last night with consumers? I'm glad to hear that they're very curious because the American wine consumers have evolved enormously in the last 15, 20 years.
No surprises. No bad surprises. it was really interesting to see how they were interested.
I don't know any wine growers that don't have a lot of worries or thoughts about marketing because wineries only exist when people respond to what's in the bottle, but also how things are packaged and how things are named and all that sort of business. This is an odd question, but I'm really, really curious about it. Would you change anything about how you named anything or how you packaged anything based on people's responses?
Based on
people's responses to the way the wines were presented, whether it's a label or a name or packaging, you know?
No, we won't change because this is how a winery, and if they like, okay. If they don't like,
okay. Right?
Yes, we don't have to change because because everyone can see different things, and we trust in what we do, so we should change for everybody or for nobody. So we try to respect our concept.
Good.
Yeah. Can I ask how your growing season is going this year for you? The weather, you know?
Yes. We had a few rain, but it's okay.
So you feel good?
The wine will be more concentrated, more intense.
And when do you go to harvest your first grape?
Generally in August. for us, you know, a late harvest is at the end of September, beginning of October. You know, it's always so warm and...
So the first to be harvested for you is the Fiano?
The first is Verdeca, Chardonnay, and then Fiano, yes, because our Fiano is a late harvest.
The Verdeca, having tasted that from you all, is super interesting, super tasty. I don't think many people are familiar with that at all. Can you speak for a minute about, you don't see that many white wines from the south of Italy, especially
exactly.
from Puglia.
Because now Puglia is specializing also in white wines. Because generally Puglia is really well known for the reds, of course, for the rosé, they are really known. And now for the whites, they are changing, they are improving the vinification and all the matters connected to the white wines. Yes, Verdeca is the most famous grape for the white wines in Puglia. The name comes from the fact, maybe, because the wine has a green tint, and verde in Italian means green. So that's why maybe Verdeca from Puglia, or also Verdejo from Spain, for the same reason I can imagine. And it's a really a pleasant wine with the golden tint and honey and almond in the nose. Really pleasant wine.
Yeah, I think that's something to look for if you're super wine curious, to be showing up sometime soon. Would you talk us through, because we have a second wine of yours in the glass.
Yes,
to taste through. Is this the Alba Negra?
Alba Negra, yes. It means the Black Dawn. Maybe it could seem negative things, but it's just because...
The Black Dawn?
The Black Dawn, yes. When the day our farmers started to harvest, there was no sun rising up. And everybody was waiting because, you know, generally we harvest during the dawn. So that morning, the sun didn't rise.
So this is a one-time. This
yes.
is a one-time wine.
Yes.
We'll taste through it in just a few moments when we come back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. We're taking your calls today live, 410-662-8780.